Moncrief on News Talk.
The new, or newish thing, is heteropessimism. The idea that heterosexual relationships will never be fulfilling in the way depicted, say, in movies. And this has led some people, particularly women, to cry off relationships altogether. Rachel Connolly has been writing about this in The Guardian. Afternoon, Rachel.
Hey.
Where does it stem from?
So I just want to make it really, really, really clear that I myself am not sort of advocating this position.
Okay.
And the piece I was writing is very much against it. So I just want to make that really, really, really clear that I'm not a heteropessimist myself. And I'm not kind of like saying it's a good idea. And, you know, in the piece I was arguing against it. It's been around for a while. Like, I think the term itself has probably been around for like at least 5 years. It's a kind of probably a woman like my generation, so kind of like 30s and younger. But it's just kind of the idea that like heterosexuality is very unfulfilling. Men are always going to be a bit rubbish, so you kind of might as well just have a rubbish relationship and kind of put up with it. Crucially, it's very sort of like weary and committed to bad relationships, I would say. So it's kind of that thing of like, oh, my boyfriend's a bit crap, but can't do anything to help it. So that's kind of what heteropessimism is and has been. And obviously that like sentiment kind of predates the term, where you wouldn't need a term for it. But I guess recently it's become a bit more strident and it's been sort of swearing off men, which, you know, I kind of jokingly say in my piece, if men are really that bad, then yeah, you shouldn't go anywhere near them. But I guess I just would argue that I don't think they're really that bad.
Yeah, but it sounds like fatalism.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, I have like a much more positive view of heterosexuality, which, you know, I say in the piece, like, I'm kind of arguing for it. I kind of think that like, I think there's a kind of thing at the minute in general with like people wanting to sort of be like, oh, I'm participating in this oppressive system, but I'm very self-aware about it. Don't worry. I know it's oppressive. I know it's not my real things. I just have to participate. And the fact is, like, I think, yeah, none of us would be in relationships, or like the vast majority of us would not, if we didn't get something out of them. So I do think I find it kind of performative, I guess. I also just think like, I sort of feel like at the minute people can have quite an idealized idea of like the kind, and I think men have this too for sure, but like young women and men have a quite idealized view of the kind of relationships they were going to end up with and the kind of relationship they were going to have. And like, I notice this with young men. I know like they'll go on like loads of dates, and they'll be like really nice dates, and they'll be like, oh, but I didn't feel like this certain spark I'm supposed to feel, like this kind of magic spark. And it's like, okay, so it's not just, I don't think it's just a woman thing, but I think that women's way of kind of engaging with this is to sort of very performatively be like, oh, he's not the best man there is, he's not the best I could do, but can't help it, I just have to go out with him. And men's is to sort of be like, oh, well, no woman will do.
Yeah, well, that's kind of grim. But it would seem to stem from that idealized idea of what a relationship is. And where do you think that particular vision has come from?
Yeah, I think a lot of people my kind of generation have a very idealized idea of, I think they kind of, a lot of people look to their parents or their grandparents who've had like decades long relationships in some cases or many cases. And they kind of say like, oh, that's what I want. I want this kind of very long relationship with one person and we're each other's whole world. But I think the thing that sometimes people don't realize is that like, if you speak to your grandparents or your parents in more depth, their relationship is a lot more complicated and involved maybe a lot more compromise than people really sort of give it credit for or realize. So I think like, you know, if you speak to any of your grandparents, they might, on the face of it, they've been happily married for 60 years. But speak to them about the relationship in more detail, and there's so much kind of compromise and letting things go and putting up with things. And I think that people are coming at it from the perspective of like, they want to compromise less, they want to put up with less, which is positive. But I think if you're doing that, you're probably not, it's, you know, you're not going to have like just one relationship for your whole life, probably.
Yeah, or is it perhaps a reaction against their parents' relationships because they didn't have, because, you know, she would give out about him and he'd give out about her occasionally, and it didn't have this platonic ideal that they have that seems to be burned into their mind as to what it's supposed to be like.
I think that's like a really interesting idea, but I genuinely feel like a lot of people my kind of generation seem to have like a really idealized view of romantic relationships still. Mm. I don't know exactly. Yeah, as you say, like maybe they watched their parents grumble and they were like, I'm not going to be like that. Maybe that's where it comes from. But yeah, people have like a really idealized, and something that I think it's a positive, but people frame it as a negative, is that I think a lot of people, young people, have like really incredibly high standards. And they kind of, you know, they want someone who's gorgeous and the, you know, smart and funny and ticks every box under the sun, and that's fine to look for that. But I think that people kind of don't realize that if you're setting your standards super, super high, you are going to, like, the pool of people who are going to be suitable for you is smaller, and you're going to struggle to find someone. And I think that's totally fine. Like, I think set your standards as high as you want, but people kind of then go like, oh, there's nobody out there, there's not a single person, and you're like, there's loads of people, you're just being extremely selective, which is perfectly, you know, it's everybody's choice. But if you're being really selective, then the selection, the group is smaller.
Yeah, but even because that strikes me, even that idea of I have, you know, there's a series of boxes I need to be ticked.
Yes.
So and they see, so that my partner needs to be of a particular standard, and there's this kind of hierarchical thinking that only a percentage of the, you know, it's this, that crazy 80-20 idea kind of made flesh in a way that only a certain percentage of the population will meet my high standards. And so it's an awful sense of Darwinism rather than seeing a person in the round or seeing a relationship in all its messy reality.
Yeah, and I think people, aren't really being honest with themselves about what they are doing. You know, like people are saying like it's impossible to find a relationship, and that's not true. Like if you just want any relationship, you can go out into the street and find one now. You know, like I can find you one right now. But people, what they actually mean is like, I'm looking for the perfect relationship, and their idea of perfect is, as you say, is like maybe based on sometimes kind of superficial things, sometimes things that aren't superficial, but yeah, it's still a very like specific thing that people are looking for. And I think sometimes people can be very, you know, like I see anecdotally a lot of people, there's a culture of dating a lot and like going on lots and lots of dates and meeting loads of people. And I think sometimes when you're in that mindset, you know, you can write off people for quite small reasons because you're just dating so many people. You know, it's just like you'll get one tomorrow, you know, you can always find a replacement. And I think, you know, like historically there wasn't that culture and people just had to sort of like put up with small flaws a little bit more.
Yeah. And is it self-aware, this idea, to the extent of I'm dating all these people and they have to reach this incredibly high standard? Do they themselves feel they have to be at an incredibly high standard? Is there anything in it for the other person?
Yeah, I think some people maybe do not. I do genuinely think, and I think this is the case for men as well as women, I think some people do not realise how high they are setting their standard. So, you know, like anyone who's in their late 20s who's saying like, it is impossible for me to find a partner, like that is not true. Like, you know, for anybody, there is someone, like there's lots of people, if you just want to find a partner, you will find one. What they mean is like, I have set a really specific standard. And I think some people, yeah, sometimes people do not realize like how high, like they are really setting that bar. And I also think, again, I think this is the case for men as well as women, you know, I've thought this a lot actually, and I didn't put this in the piece, but I think there's a big culture now of like, you know, on social media, you kind of make a persona and you have like heavily edited photos of yourself in a lot of cases, or you have very flattering selfies. And I think sometimes people's view of how sort of desirable they are is actually a little bit skewed. Maybe that's like a slightly controversial thing to say, but you know, if you're every photo and your Instagram and your whole perception of yourself is through like filters, and your idea of who you actually are is quite skewed.
Yeah, you're starting to believe your own press releases.
Yeah, exactly.
Rachel, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Rachel Connolly is also an author as well, the author of Lazy City, and was writing about this in The Guardian. A few comments on that. Is this related to learned incompetence, where men become useless because you tell them that they are? No, that's... probably a slightly different thing. The relationship is fairly well established at that point. And I actually don't believe in learned incompetence. That's in a lot of the time. For men, anyway, it can be devised incompetence. So there's certain things they don't have to do. Heteropessimism makes me pessimistic. Well, indeed, that's probably the point of it. Young people need to get real. There's no perfect partner. Your husband will annoy you, but it doesn't mean you need to be celibate and swear off men. Snowflakes, says the texter. Somebody else says, so heteropessimism is just a fancy way of saying men are crap. Well, or you could just say men are crap. Really, that's more to the point, really. Young men are probably just as pessimistic as young women when it comes to dating. Says this person, the apps mean that everyone is just scrolling and swiping and has made everyone more superficial. It's really hard to meet someone, have a meaningful connection. I've been single for 3 years and I'm a man in my 30s. It is not as fun and easy as people in long-term relationships think. I don't think anybody thinks it's easy. It seems appalling. But it seems also that, like, and I'm not saying this to you particularly, but there seems to be a cohort of people who are making it difficult for themselves. To what's being spoken about now, my favourite quote, those that are hard to please in the beginning are easily pleased in the end. Oh, gosh. I think you can't get the perfect relationship off the bat. Good relationships take a lot of time to build. More people are very impatient these days and flip-flop between partners way too much. Well, indeed, relationships change and they build up over time, and that's kind of how it works, really. It's more that you meet someone, you think there's potential in this, rather than somebody arrives in the world fully formed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.